Years ago, I attended a youth retreat at a campgrounds, and it was not connected with our fellowship at all. I was a teenager, Assembly of God Church. We also got together with the Methodist Church. The Methodist pastor was a spirit-filled man, and on Sunday nights he used to bring his church over to our Assembly of God Church. That's how I met my friend Jerry. Some of you know Jerry. Anyway, he's kept in touch. We've kept in touch for years. And I remember being at that retreat, and it was a rainy weekend, and there was mud all over the place. It was really quite a mess. And yet we had a great time. And I remember when I came back home, I had a similar feeling to what we have been speaking about this morning. And I wondered about that. I said, why is it that the Lord came to me in such a wonderful way at that camp? And I didn't want to leave that back at the camp. You know, I was at the camp for one weekend out of 365 days. I had to live home the rest of the time. And I thought, boy, I want to learn to have the Lord with me at home. That's where I need him most. And just a simple thought came to me, and I thought, you know, when I woke up in the morning, we were encouraged to have devotions. And I said, well, that's something I could do at home, be more regular about. Start my day with the Lord. Make sure I do that. And then when we got to the breakfast table, we sang a song, and then we prayed. And I thought, well, that was nice. And then during the afternoon, we had a meeting, or we had Christian fellowship. We talked about the Lord, sang again, prayed again, had lunch. And, you know, I just noticed that throughout the day that we were just directing our attention to the Lord and just opening our heart to him. You know, it wasn't just morning devotions. Okay, I spent my time with the Lord, and I'll pray again tonight before I get to bed if I remember, and just go my way. But we broke up the day. Let's spend a little time with Jesus now, just a few minutes, and again and again, you know. And I realized that, you know, that's what really made a big difference in my walk with the Lord, just giving him that time and learning to pay more attention to him throughout my day. We call that paying loving attention to Jesus. Just think about him because you love him. Just take a moment to tell him that. Maybe sing a song in your heart or something like that. And then I remember when I went to King Cullen, that was my job. I was a stock boy there. I used to like to go out into the parking lot and gather all the shopping carts. Nobody wanted that job, but I thought that was good. I'd be alone. I could worship the Lord and sing some songs out there, and nobody would hear me. And I don't know if they saw my mouth moving and thought, who's that crazy person out there? But I used to like those opportunities. Here's a chance in the afternoon for me to just be alone for a few minutes and just worship the Lord. And that's also been emphasized here at camp, of course. You know, you wake up in the morning, you have your devotions, and then you step outside and you hear music. It's sort of like like a musical, right? You're walking. Where do you hear music when you're walking down the street? But I like to turn on the music in the morning, and as you go about getting ready for breakfast, you hear that singing, and right away it helps to get your mind on the Lord. Praise God. And that's something we need to learn to cultivate in our life. We call that practicing the presence of God. We have his presence with us, but we have to learn to pay attention to it. You know, if you're with somebody and you're ignoring them all day, you don't benefit by their company. But if you are with someone and you converse every once in a while and express your love for one another and open your heart to each other, that does something to make that fellowship alive and then to develop that relationship. Praise God. And so there too is something that we can do when we get back home. Say, Lord, I'm going to make you more a part of my everyday living. You know, 2 weeks at camp is nice, but all the rest of the time I'm home in the city or wherever I live. And that's where I need you. I have to learn to find Jesus at home. I have to learn to take him with me to school and to work. And that's because this is my life. And I need Jesus to be the center of my life and all that I am. Praise God. And so I'm glad that we've heard some of these things this morning, and I trust they can be a help to us. Praise God. We've been looking a little bit on these mornings what Jesus had to say about the Scriptures or the Word of God. You do err because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God. We talked about that and how those two have to go hand in hand. We have to study the Scriptures, and we have to believe in and open our hearts to the power of God to make those Scriptures alive to us and to fulfill His Word. It has to be done by the power of the Holy Ghost. God's Word means what it says, and the Holy Spirit brings the fulfillment of His Word into our lives. And then yesterday we talked about that word from Mrs. Robinson, that all the truths of the Bible are but pathways to the feet of Jesus, and how Jesus spoke to the religious leaders in His day and said, you read Moses and you think that in these Scriptures you have eternal life, but they testify of Me. And we talked about that, how in the Old Testament we see Jesus everywhere. I know there's a book, someone pointed out a book to me that Brother Eddie recommended, Jesus in the Old Testament. It's down there in the boathouse, and I'm going to buy one before I leave and get into that. I used to see that in the faith home. Brother Eddie was reading that, and now he recommended it, and I'm sure he had something to do with it being here. Praise God. And we saw Jesus in the types in the Old Testament, and certainly in the prophecies concerning Himself, and so on. And now this morning I'd just like to just look at a passage with you where Jesus speaks about His words in John chapter 6. Some time ago I had an object talk with our young people, and I was trying to help them to understand how precious the words of Jesus are in the Bible. The whole Bible is important and precious. It's all inspired by the Lord. But those words of Jesus, I don't know, there's something about the words that came out of His mouth. You know, even in His day, the people, they were astonished at His teaching. They had never heard anybody teach the way He did. And they marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth, the Bible says. You know, grace is that help that God brings into our life. It's the divine enablement. He enables us to be what He wants us to be. And the words that Jesus spoke somehow ministered that to people. It gave them hope. It made them feel like they could be what God wants them to be, that they could know Him, that they are precious to Him. And there was something in the words of Jesus that ministered grace to them. They were gracious words, words that encouraged them and inspired them, and so on. You know, the words that the Pharisees would teach them always condemned them, always made them feel like they could never measure up, they could never be what God wanted them to be, always had this sense that God was angry with them and just looking for a moment, the right moment to punish them, and so on. But Jesus, His words were so different. It just drew them to God, made them want to love Him and want to serve Him. And they also say that the words that Jesus spoke were different because He spoke as with authority, as one that had authority, and not as the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes and Pharisees, they just repeated things that they had learned and heard, and they always quoted their teachers, you know, and that was to give weight to what they were saying. You know, when I was a younger minister especially, I tended to quote more people because I figured, you know, no one's going to take what I have to say, but if I can tell them what Brother Hans Waldfogel said, then they'll say, oh yeah, okay, that's worth considering, or Brother Edwin or Brother Gordon or someone else. But Jesus spoke with authority. Jesus didn't have to quote the old rabbis and teachers in His day. He said, you know, you have heard it said, But I say unto you, and he just spoke with his own authority. He just put it out there. And another translation says he spoke as one that knew what he was talking about or had experienced what he was talking about. When Jesus talked about God, it was different than some of these other leaders talking about God. Jesus spoke as though he knew him. Jesus said, I came down from heaven. I know what I'm talking about. I've seen these things for myself, and I'm just telling you what's real to me. And people could feel that in his teaching. And so there's something very special about the words of Jesus. And so trying to help my young people understand that, I took a red letter edition like Josh Stephen has here. All the words of Jesus are in red. And then I turned the lights out and I shined a flashlight on it with a red lens. And what do you think happened?
Use a red lens to shine on a red light?
Yeah.
Red lens is filtered.
Yeah, getting there.
So then red on red, just be red.
Yeah. Red on red, it made the words disappear. You're getting there. It's good. I was interested in your line of reasoning. It's good. Yeah, the words disappeared completely. And they were just blank. Those passages where Jesus spoke, all of a sudden, were gone. And, it said, Peter asked something, and Jesus said unto him, and we're all anxious to hear what Jesus had to say, and then it wasn't there. And then when you get into the Gospel of John chapter 14, totally blank except for a few little phrases, and Jesus said, and and 15 and 16, 17 was gone. And I thought, what would the Word of God be like to us if we didn't have those words of Jesus? So we took a little while to think about that. The things that Jesus said, before Jesus came, they had the Old Testament. They didn't call it that. They called it the Scriptures. And there was so much in there that instructed them and taught them about God. But if you took the words of Jesus out of the Bible, my, what a loss we would suffer. And so we began to learn to appreciate the words of Jesus himself in a greater way. Praise God. And so here in John chapter 6, in the 63rd verse, Jesus says something about his words. John 6:63. Luke again. What am I doing here? Okay. My Bible opens to the Gospel of Luke all the time. I didn't have a 63 in that verse. You know, one time I was counseling some young people. They were getting ready to get married. So I had prepared all my, instruction for them. And I was going to have him read some verses. And I'm telling them, we need to make God the center of our marriage and all this. And I said, Tommy, it was Tommy Connect. Tommy, why don't you read this verse? And I gave him the wrong text or something. And he reads it. And he, looking up from hell, and he had this look on his face like he wasn't so sure he wanted to go ahead with this. Maybe not the marriage, but certainly the counseling. And we laughed about that. It had something wrong. And we made that correction. Okay, anyway, now I'm back in the Gospel of John. And in the 63rd verse, why don't somebody read that for me? You have it, don't you?
It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life.
Praise God. Jesus had just spoken to this group who seemed to be following him around just for what they could get out of him naturally. You know, he had fed the 5,000, and now they thought, this is great. Here we've got someone that can just give us food when we want it. We don't have to pay for it. And who knows what else he can do. Just snap his fingers and we'll get everything we need and everything we want. And Jesus said, don't follow me for the food that perishes, but for that which leads to eternal life. He said, listen, my purpose in being here isn't just to supply your natural needs. Your natural life will pass away one day. This is all temporal. But there's something that's more important than the natural. And that's the eternal. Man shall not live by bread alone, That bread speaks of just the natural things that we need in life, the food and the clothing and so on. He said, there's more to life than just taking care of your natural needs. You need to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, because the word of God brings life to you, ministers to your spirit, that which is eternal. And that's what you need to get interested in, and that's what you need to seek more than the natural. And so he went on then, and he told them, "You have to. If any man come after me, let him eat my flesh and drink my blood. You don't have any life in you." And they were wondering what he was talking about there. And then Jesus tried to explain to them. He said, "I'm that bread that came down from heaven. If a man eat of me, he shall live forever." And they were trying to understand this naturally. I don't know what he's talking about. And Jesus was trying to get them off that plane of natural thinking, and to make them to understand that he was speaking spiritually, and he was addressing the spiritual need in their life. You know, there are so many people that try to help us, but they don't consider the spiritual aspect of man. You know, they, through their psychology and so on, they try to give us good advice and so on. But you know, there's a spiritual aspect of man that is very real. There are needs that are very real that only God can meet. And that spirit man is fed by the word of God. And so Jesus said, these things that I've talked to you about, these things that I've spoken to you about, eating my flesh, drinking my blood, I'm the bread of life, these are spiritual things that I'm trying to communicate to you. My words are spirit, and my words are life-giving. Praise God. And then he went on and told them again about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and they understood that that had something to do with a total commitment to him. And they weren't willing to go that far. And so it says that the multitudes left him. And then he turned to his 12 apostles. And he said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And Peter, I guess speaking up for the group, answered in verse 68, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast words of eternal life." Praise God. "And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Somehow Peter had gotten hold of something. It was something that was revealed to him by the Father, that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, Peter." Remember when he said that to him? In other words, you didn't come to this conclusion that I am the Son of the living God on your own. You didn't just watch me and see what I do and take notes and then look over the page and say, "Well, he does this and he said that and he does this, so he must be the Son of God." It didn't work that way. You received a revelation from God himself. He opened up to you. He gave you an insight into who I really am. You began to see through spiritual eyes. And Peter recognized that he was the Son of God, and that the words that Jesus was speaking were words of life. "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see." Has the words of Jesus become life to you yet? Do they feed your soul? Have you awakened to the wonder of his word, the power of his word, the life that is in the word? Praise God. God wants to make his word life to us, to feed our inner man. You know, you take natural food to feed your outer man. You need that every day. We get plenty of that at camp. Someone was saying, "What is it about camp? At home I don't eat breakfast like this, but here I just devour it." And we thought it was the mountain air and the good cooking. You know, I don't know what it is, but it was good. But we need to feed our inner man, and we need spiritual food for that. And Jesus said, "My words are spirit, and my words are life." They'll nurture the life of God in you and build up the life of God in you. And we have to be careful not to neglect the Word of God. Brother John Munsinger, years ago, I was in his Sunday school class, and I bring this up every once in a while because it's a good point, I think. He said that he's been teaching the young adults class for a number of years at that time. And he said, over the years, every once in a while, a young person will come to him and say, Brother John, you know, I feel so empty in my spiritual life. I just don't feel close to God and struggling with things. And he said, I always ask him this question, just simple question. Are you reading your Bible every day and are you praying? And he said, in every case, they say, no, I'm not. Well, if you starve your inner man, what do you expect? You know, I don't know what's happening with the food that I eat. I just know that it's doing something good for my body if it's healthy food. I don't have to tell what organ should be nourished and, you know, direct the waffle as to where it should go. I just take it in and I trust that it's going to do what it's supposed to do in my body. And that's how it is with the Word of God. We need to take it in. Sometimes you read something and, you know, you don't know, maybe fully understand it or know, you know, what it has to do with you today. But just taking that Word of God into your life feeds your inner man. It does something. It's like taking food into your body. The Word knows what to do, even if you don't know what to do with it. And we need to just trust the Word of God, trust the power in the Word, trust the life in the Word. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. And that's all we need to know. You know, if this is spirit and life, then it's good enough for me. It's like that manna. What was the recipe of that manna? I would like to find that out. You know, you eat this stuff and it had every vitamin you need, every nutrient. They just were so healthy, walking through the wilderness, strengthened by this manna. Manna means, what is it? We're still wondering to this day, what is it? Well, that's what the Word of God is to us. It's that living bread that comes down from heaven. It's Jesus himself coming to us. In 2 Corinthians 3:6, the Apostle Paul, he talks about his ministry, and he says, you know, the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. And he's talking about his ministry, and he says, we're not just coming to you and talking off the top of our head, but we are ministering under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and we're giving you the words that God gives us to minister to you. And these words bring life to you. You know, every minister needs to claim the anointing of the Holy Spirit as they minister. Because to just speak naturally will not produce the life that God is after. You know, sometimes you can preach and you sense that the people are getting discouraged rather than ministered to. You know, you preach about how we should live and what the Lord wants us of us and the standard he wants us to come up to. And if the anointing of the Holy Spirit isn't on that, you find that you don't minister life, you minister death. And you minister discouragement and so on. And I'm sure I've been guilty of that too many times, but I've been asking the Lord more and more, Jesus, it has to be the Spirit of God. It has to be by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, or it's not going to get into the heart where it's needed, and it's not going to produce the life that it should. Let's just look at a few verses of what Jesus has to say about his word, and then we'll close this morning, okay? John chapter 7, 15 through 18, particularly verse 17. John chapter 7, I think they're all in the Gospel of John. Find it, read it for me, okay, please? 15 through 18. Who's got it? Lynchburg, Virginia. Could you read for us, please?
Sure. 15 through 18.
Yes, please.
Okay. The Jews were amazed and asked, how did this man get such learning without having studied? Jesus answered, my teaching is not my own. It comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teachings come from God or whether I speak on my own. He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself, but he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him.
Okay, thank you. Here Jesus is saying that the words that I'm speaking, they're not my own words. They were saying, how does he speak like this and teach like this? He didn't study the scriptures like we did and go to our schools and like the other rabbis did, and yet he teaches with such authority and so on. And Jesus said, these are not my own words. These are the words that my Father gives to me. I am speaking to you the words of God, the words of my Father. And if any man really wants to do the will of God, they'll recognize that. They'll be able to recognize that the words that I speak are not my own words, but they're the words of God reaching out to you. Praise God. You know, and it was so that those that really wanted to do the will of God and were really wanting to know God, they heard something in the words of Jesus that just met that need in their life. And those that really weren't interested in serving God, like some of those religious leaders that we read about, they just found fault with his words and criticized him, and they didn't see any life in them at all. But it was because of the attitude of their own heart. Jesus was speaking the words of eternal life. Let's turn to John chapter 8, verse 26. And as soon as you find it, read it, someone, please. 8:26.
I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him.
Okay. Here again, Jesus confirms the fact. He's speaking the words that God has given him. He's speaking them to the world. And there's some other verses like that. Let's see, John chapter 12, 47 through 50. John 12, 47 through 50.
And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, that what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak.
Okay, good. Now let's look at John 14:10. That's the last one. Oh no, there's one more in John. Okay, 14:10.
For you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me.
Praise God. Again, I want to bring to your attention how often Jesus made it known that the words that he speaks are not, he's just not saying what he wants to say, but that he is speaking words that his Father has commanded him to say. That all the words that Jesus spoke were the word of God himself. And then 17:8, John 17:8, last one.
Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit.
17? 17.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, next page. 15, you're in 15, right? Yes, please.
For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me.
Thank you, Sister Bonnie. Here Jesus, toward the end of his ministry, as he's preparing now to go to Calvary, and he's satisfied that he has given to the people the words that God has given him. He has spoken all that God has wanted him to communicate. He didn't hold back anything. And he said everything that God wanted him to say. Praise God. And he said, and they've received these words. He's talking about his disciples in particular. And they have received life. And then here in the 17th chapter, he tells us what eternal life is. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life, and that those that receive them receive eternal life. And then he defines eternal life for us. Eternal life isn't just living forever, but eternal life is a quality of life. And here he says, these words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's Jesus' definition of eternal life. It's a life of knowing God through Christ. My words are spirit and their life. As you receive my words into your spirit, you will enter into fellowship. You can know God, and you can know this life of fellowship with God. He makes himself real to us. He comes to live in our hearts. And as we live here on this earth among millions of people, we live above the world because we're living in fellowship with God. His presence is real in our life. His love has become real to us. And we know him. And we want to know him better all the time. And life is a journey of just getting to know him better all the time. And we know him through his word and through the power of his word in our lives. And so we ought to cherish the words of Jesus and pay special attention to them. That might be a good study one day, just to take the words of Jesus. Maybe if you shined a black light on your Bible, everything would disappear but the words of Jesus. You think that would work? Probably not. Anyway, try it. Might be fun. But, you know, just look at those words of Jesus and say, Lord, you said these words are spirit and they're life, and I want to experience that for myself. Through these words, as I take them into my heart and believe and meditate upon your word, let that life of Jesus just grow in me and just make Christ more real and more precious to me and cause him to take over more in my life. So let's not neglect the word of God, but let's draw life from it every day. Praise God.